The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
To another edition of Thought Crime Radio. Today we're going to have Ron Avery back on. Ron Avery is an architect from Austin, Texas, and we are going to talk some more about the strange goings-on on 9/11 and the unscientific, anti-commonsensical aspects of the official story of what happened on that day. Ron, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Let me turn you up a little bit.
As usual, I can barely hear you, though. I don't know what it is. And the line was kind of, during the music, was cutting in and out, too. I'm not sure what that was about.
But. Yikes. Okay. And Patricia, are you there?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Patricia. Okay. Yeah, Ron, this is Patricia. She's been on the show before a couple of times, talking about... obstetrical issues and brainwashing.
Okay. Hi, Patricia.
Hi there. I'm sorry?
I just said hi.
Oh, hi. I forgot you talk Texan.
Yeah. I'm Texan. Yeah.
So before we get into it, I would like to cover some headlines here. And the information is so dense. There's so much to cover about what's going on. You know, it seems like time is speeding up in the past few years. And so I'm just going to talk in Google. And so I'm just going to recite some terms that the listener can go out and do a Google search for these terms and discover things that are not being covered in the media. So pull out your pen and paper there, and get ready. If you're in a car, don't pull over or anything. I'll put it on the website, thoughtcrimeradio.blogspot.com, currently. So the first one is just a series of words. It doesn't have to make sense. Canada, Obama, bans, pictures, BP oil spill. Canada, Obama, bans, pictures, BP oil spill. All right, that's pretty self-explanatory. There's a huge eco-catastrophe going on in the Gulf of Mexico, and the administration, this great black hope in Washington, has partnered with BP in suppressing information about what's going on down there. The next term is censored Gulf evacuation news. censored Gulf evacuation news. And now we have two different sources, independent sources, saying that their contacts within the governments of various states, including California, Florida, Louisiana, are reporting that there is going to be a forced evacuation, believe it or not, a forced evacuation of the Gulf region, mostly because of this dispersant, this poison that's being sprayed in combination with the crude oil actually multiplies the toxicity of the crude oil by about six times. This is serious stuff, and it's affecting people's health. They're having headaches. There's long-term effects from exposure to benzene, too, that affects fetuses and future generations. So this is a genetic holocaust going on down there. The next term is Canary in the Gulf. And actually, this is a URL, canaryinthegulf.com, all one word. Okay, so that deals with the BP oil spill, since canaryinthegulf.com, just to repeat it. In other headlines, Google, how Goldman gambled on starvation, how Goldman gambled on starvation. Goldman Sachs is directly, and their cohorts on Wall Street, are directly responsible for the deaths by starvation of probably millions of people around the world. Just by speculating on futures contracts on agricultural products, which is something they were not able to do until they pushed through legislation, which specifically allowed it a decade or so ago. The next term is, 20 people arrested at the G20 tell of inhumane treatment at the hands of police. That's a long phrase, but probably the first five or six words would get it. That's numerical 20, not spelled out. 20 people arrested at the G20 tell of inhumane treatment at the hands of police. The Nazis, in other words, the people who run the G20 are the same people that run the Federal Reserve, are the same people that own Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is a major shareholder of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. The people who own, well, you don't even have to worry about or question who owns the Federal Reserve. The real question is who runs it, and there is no ambiguity about that. It's run by commercial banks. So here we have commercial bankers with billions of dollars, trillions of dollars to invest in the market that are in direct control of our monetary policy and interest rate policy, and they conduct their deliberations in secret, so they are well positioned to take advantage of the policies that they decide on. When Greenspan blew up these credit bubbles that he was so adept at creating, you know, of course they knew exactly what they were doing, and they profited immensely from it, and they knew exactly what would result from this. You know, this is not rocket science. In fact, Greenspan made some incriminating comments in the Persian Gulf region at a meeting of finance ministers in Dubai several years ago, talking about how they needed to decouple their currency from the U.S. dollar because it was going downhill. That was back in 2008, February, I believe, 2008, or maybe it was 2007, long time ago. Boy, there's so much to cover here. Maybe I should just forget about the rest of this stuff. One good website to go to get censored news is www.wanttoknow.info. Want to know, that's T-O, wanttoknow.info. They're pretty good. So, you know, we're just trying to bypass the Nazi media that is in control of this country, and it is Nazi historically, and certainly in terms of their practical, what they present to the public and what they censor is indicative of a treasonous agenda, indicative of high treason and cooperation with mass murderers, including the mass murderers who conducted the 9/11 false flag operation. So, I'm done venting for a little while. Okay, so Ron, would you like to to start out on the scientific?
Yes, that would be fine. Okay. I thought we were talking about the Pentagon today and the damage that was done there by whatever hit it. I thought we could cover the approach and the supposed jet and the obstacle field in front of the Pentagon that it had to work through, and the damage pattern on the building after the impact prior to the collapse, and the building's internal damage pattern, and the lack of verifiable B-757 debris in or out of the building.
Ron, before you go on, I'm sorry, yeah. I forgot. I need to play this excerpt from Major General Stubblebine.
Great.
Yeah. So Stubblebine was the former photograph intelligence analyst for the Pentagon. He ran the entire intelligence operation dealing with, I guess, mostly satellite intelligence, but other types of photos too. So I'm just going to play this from YouTube.
I am Major General Albert Stubblebine. I am retired Army Major General. In my last assignment, my last command, I was responsible for all of the Army's strategic intelligence forces around the world. I had responsibility for the signals intelligence, photo intelligence, counterintelligence, human intelligence. They all belong to me in my last assignment. I was supposed to find out what the enemy was doing before the enemy did it so that we could take action against the enemy. That's intelligence, okay? Before the fact. So we always, always rely not on a single piece of data before we make a statement, but on multiple. And the more pieces of data that you have that correlate, the better you know exactly what is going on. So I have had a lot of experience in looking at photographs. I have looked at many, many different kinds of photographs from many, many different platforms on many, many different countries around the world.
Okay, so on September the 11th in 2001. What hit the Pentagon?
I don't know exactly what hit it, but I do know from the photographs that I have analyzed and looked at very, very carefully, it was not an airplane.
What made you believe that?
Well, for one thing, if you look at the hole that was made in the Pentagon, the nose penetrated far enough so that there should have been wing marks on the walls of the Pentagon. I have been unable to find those wing marks. So where were they? Did this vessel, vehicle, or whatever it was, have wings? Apparently not, because if it had had wings, they would have made marks on the side of the Pentagon. One person counteracted my theory and said, oh, well, you've got it all wrong. And the reason that it's wrong is that as the airplane came across, one wing tipped down and hit the ground and broke off. I said, fine, that's possible. One wing could have broken off. But if I understand airplanes correctly, most airplanes have two wings. I haven't met an airplane with only one wing. So where was the mark for the second wing? Okay, one broke off. There should have been a mark for the second wing. I could not find that in any of the photographs that I've analyzed. Now, I've been very careful to not say what went in there. Why? Because they don't have that evidence. I've never believed it was an airplane since I'd looked at the photographs. Up until that time I looked at the photographs, I accepted what was being said. After I looked at it, no way. We pride ourselves with the free press. I do not believe the free press is free anymore. It's very expensive. It's very expensive. And the press is saying what they have been told to say about this. Now, do I have proof of that? No. But I believe that what is being, what certainly the stories that were told about 9/11 were false. I mean, you take a look at the buildings falling down. They didn't fall down because airplanes hit them. They fell down because of explosives went off into the demolition. Look at Building 7, for God's sakes. It didn't fall down to its side. It didn't fall this direction or that direction. Just like the two towers. When you look at the temperatures that you can create with fuel in a gas tank or a fuel tank of an airplane, and then you investigate the amount of heat that it would be required to melt the superstructure of the buildings, that came tumbling down. When you put all of that together, the one thing that shows, it does not match the facts. What is it they do not want the public to know?
Well, I guess we know what they don't want the public to know. They don't want the public to know that this government, by some means which is beyond my comprehension, has been taken over by malevolent forces. We no longer have a legitimate constitutional government in this country. It is being run, my guess is that it's being run by the same traitors who helped to put Hitler in power back in World War II and got off scot-free, like Prescott Bush, George Bush's grandfather, who was a Nazi war criminal. You'll never hear about this, but in fact, he ran Union Bank. The Union Bank was confiscated by the U.S. government after World War II under the Trading with the Enemy Act. It turns out that Prescott Bush was Fritz Thyssen's business partner. Fritz Thyssen ran the biggest steelworks in Germany and was basically Mr. Military-Industrial Complex of Germany during the Nazi regime. But it goes back further than that. There was something called the Hitler Project, and you can probably Google that term, the Hitler Project, dealing with the Western intelligence agency's desire to drive a wedge between the USSR and Germany in order to prevent the emergence of a trading bloc which would compete with the British and American empires. Anyway, that's for another show. let's just go on. So, okay, tell us what you know about this, Ron.
Well, it's interesting. You started off with Major General Stubblebine had said about the wing, not being able to find the wing marks, and of course neither could the American Society of Civil Engineers. In their report, they said they couldn't find the marks of the outer part of the wings either, and that they suggested that the right wing broke as a result of maybe hitting the fence on the right-hand side prior to entry, or a light pole or something that sheared it off prior to getting there. But they didn't. I think they wanted to stay with the fence because that is the. Some have said the light poles. I think though that the civil engineers maintained that it still was the fence because that's very close to the building. If a wing would have sheared off way back at a light pole somewhere, the wing would have been found in the yard. Because obviously the wing wouldn't have gone in the same hole, breaking off that far apart. And then the other wing, they suggested, well, that hit some kind of transformer box on the left, some kind of electrical transformer box, I guess. And that sheared off that wing too. But none of those explanations are any good because you never find the wing. There's no. It looks like there would have been photos taken because there were people there shooting photos right after it while the fire trucks were still there.
There was a single thing that could have been a jet engine that I've seen a picture of.
They do have a, but it's not of a 757. That's
right.
That was another thing I wanted to cover is that the only verifiable aircraft parts that have been shown to the public are parts that don't, they are airplane parts, but they don't belong to a 757. So that's kind of strange, too.
Or a missile. Could have been a cruise missile.
I'm sorry?
It could have been a cruise missile. I mean, the jet engines, I believe cruise missiles have jet engines in them.
Yeah.
Whatever it was way too small to be a 757 engine.
And that's just one part of all this evidence that's kind of glaring or things that don't add up. One of the ones that fascinates me more than anything is this hole that's in the C ring. I think it's A, B, C, D, and E. The aircraft, there's damage, internal damage on E, D, and C, and there's really a ring opening at the first level in that open way in between A and B and then C, D, and E. And there's actually a drive in that area. What is fascinating is this perfect ring about 10 or 12 feet in diameter and in opening into this C ring that you can drive through. It's about 40 feet wide all the way around the Pentagon. And it's on the ground level. And destruction field or damage field doesn't show a clear path from the big circular ring in the C ring, back to the point of entry of whatever hit it. And I'm wondering how in the world, what is all of that about? How could you get something that big around to pierce the wall and then have all these columns that are still standing, some of them virtually undamaged at all? And it's just a lot of strange evidence that just doesn't add up to the story they tell about it.
Patricia, do you have any anything you want to say?
Thank you for reading my mind. I was wondering if it could maybe have been related to the demolition kind of evidence in the World Trade Center towers, what you're talking about.
Well, there's been some people have witnesses testified that they smelled cordite, which is an explosive associated with missiles, and there's evidence of that. And I think, like Rich mentioned a minute ago, the jet engine that was found does look like one that would propel something like a Global Hawk.
Interesting. So, I have a recording of Bush's transportation secretary testifying in front of the 9/11 commission, Norman Mineta.
Yes.
Would you like to hear that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Norman Mineta, well, he'll explain it, but basically he was in the White House bunker with Dick Cheney during the run-up to the impact at the Pentagon.
I wanted to focus just a moment on the Presidential Emergency Operating Center. You were there for a good part of the day. I think you were there with the Vice President. And we had that order given, I think it was by the president, that authorized the shooting down of commercial aircraft that were suspected to be controlled by terrorists. Were you there when that order was given?
No, I was not. I was made aware of it during the time that the airplane coming in to the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out. The plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Well, at the time, I didn't know what all that meant. And
the flight you're referring to is the
flight that came into the Pentagon.
Pentagon, yeah.
And so I was not aware that that discussion had already taken place. And but in listening to the conversation between the young man and the vice president, then at the time I didn't really recognize the significance of that. And then later I heard of the fact that the airplanes had been scrambled from Langley to come up to D.C. But those planes were still about 10 minutes away. And so then at the time we heard about the airplane that went into Pennsylvania, then I thought, oh, my God, did we shoot it down? And then we had to, with the vice president, go through the Pentagon to check that out.
Let me see if I understand. The plane that was headed toward the Pentagon and was some miles away, There was an order to shoot that plane down.
Well, I don't know that specifically, but I do know that the airplanes were scrambled from Langley or from Norfolk, the Norfolk area, and but I did not know about the order specifically, other than listening to that other conversation.
But there very clearly was an order to shoot commercial aircraft.
Subsequently, I found that out.
With respect to Flight 93, what type of information were you and the Vice President receiving about that flight?
Well, anyway, they go on to other flights at that point, but Lee Hamilton, the congressman who was head of the 9/11 commission, was very, very careful to try to stress the common myth that the order that Cheney gave, or that the president gave, was to actually shoot this thing down, whatever it was. But there is no evidence of that, and in fact there is a fair amount of evidence that the order was to actually stand down. Back in June of 2001, Rumsfeld's office produced a bureaucratic memo changing the procedures for allowing the command NORAD center to shoot down wayward planes. And prior to that, the decision to shoot down could be made by, I guess, regional commanders. After that, there were only two people who could authorize that. One was Rumsfeld, and I guess the other is, you know, either the president or the vice president. Basically, the vice president, because Bush was off playing golf somewhere, probably. No, actually, he was reading a child's book in a grade school in Florida. But anyway.
Well, here's what's kind of interesting to me. All of this is just kind of, what do we do with this kind of information? Because that would only be important, that whole thing about a passenger jet, Flight 757 or Flight 77 headed towards the Pentagon, if in fact the Pentagon was actually hit by a B-57 American Airlines 77. But if it wasn't hit by American Airlines Flight 77, then that whole piece of information there is rather irrelevant.
Was it Flight 77 or Flight 11?
Oh, you might. Is it? I think you're right. That's Flight 11, isn't it? Yeah, whichever one it was.
I'm sorry.
You understand what I'm driving at,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
That would only be important if in fact, the thing we could prove that flight actually hit the Pentagon. And this this report that I've been reading, this...
No, you're right. It is Flight 77.
Yeah. American Civil Society of Civil Engineers report doesn't... they didn't really have access to all the information. They didn't know anything about bodies, where bodies were. They didn't know about jet parts that were actually found. All that information was given to them by other agencies, including the FBI.
The FBI.
So basically all the American Society of Civil Engineers had to look at was actually after they were permitted to enter the facility sometime later to, you know, look at columns and the damage to the structure before construction crews started really cleaning up and rebuilding. And they admit that in their report, that they don't have any direct evidence of it. It's just evidence that they've been, that they compiled from others.
So they received evidence from the FBI. This is the same FBI that confiscated all the video footage, you know, in the area after the event. You know, actually went out and there was a gas station across the street. They came in there and they told them to get that footage.
Yeah.
And
that's amazing too. And their report here that I have sitting right in front of me here, I'm just kind of cruising through it, and the photographs that they give showing the aircraft are the same four photographs that the world has seen, that everybody knows there's no aircraft in it. You know, you just see this little off on the right, and then you see this big ball of fire on the face, and there's your evidence, you know.
Yeah, it's like in our face. It's like the necessity for the suspension of disbelief is very, very similar to watching a movie, you know, going to the theater and watching some Terminator 2 movie or something. I mean, you're just supposed to, you know, sit there and passively accept this as being reality.
Well, I'm surprised they don't get into that a little more. I think they could have just generated pictures of the jet crashing into it. At least you'd have a picture of a jet. They don't even. This would make a bad movie because you don't really even see the. You never see the jet. They don't even give you the. They don't give you something and say, "Believe your eyes," because we just put it on the screen. They just say, "Believe us and forget your eyes," because you don't see one here, but we're telling you there is one, so there is one.
That's exactly right, and the American people, by and large, are taking this. Well, I mean, who is in a position to publicly contest this claim? I mean, the media is we live under a Nazi media, and if you don't believe me, if you don't believe the American mass media is influenced by Nazis, all you need to do is go to Google and search for the term Bush, Grandfather Hitler. Bush, Grandfather Hitler, and also search for White House coup. White House coup. And you will find that Prescott Bush actually attempted to overthrow the United States government in a military coup back in the 30s. Tried to recruit a Marine general to mount a coup against Franklin Roosevelt. And this was covered by the BBC. And, you know, the Bush family was actually sued by Auschwitz survivors of Auschwitz, claiming that they had personally profited from slave labor at Auschwitz. And we've had, you know, the American media has had, well, four different presidential campaigns conducted by the Bush spawn, you know, George H.W. and George W., running for president of the United States, and somehow this information has never been covered in the mainstream media. And so that is why I say that our mass media is being influenced by Nazis.
Yeah. As an architect, there's a couple of things that really, just really should stand out in everybody's mind when they look at this evidence related to a 757 hitting the Pentagon and hitting it where it did and the destruction field. One of the most obvious glaring troubles there is with believing this is that there's virtually no damage on the second floor. There's only two columns that are totally removed on the second floor, and even the exterior columns, only two of them are severely damaged. And the jet, in order to hit the Pentagon without scraping the yard and crashing into it on the ground, which it didn't do because there's no evidence in all the photographs immediately after the collision, or the impact of whatever it was, there's nothing in the yard. There's no scratches. There's no scraping along the surface. It looks like grass is growing. You could, just been mowed or something like that. And then there's these spools that 6'6" in diameter laying around, and they're still
wire spools
sitting there kind of untouched instead of destroyed and burning and or smashed or any of that, meaning this, in the second floor, the troubling part of this is the structure is made out of reinforced concrete, including the floors and the columns, and it's all poured integrally, so it's all connected. And the second floor hits this aircraft at the middle zone, right about where the people would be sitting. Almost no one, in fact, there were no passengers of the jet found, according to the FBI, were found on the second floor. They were all found in the first floor. There were no passengers found on the second floor. Only a few occupants, three or four occupants' bodies were found on the second floor. So
are
if
you
you're traveling at 777 or 780 feet per second in an aircraft that hits a reinforced concrete building, and all of the debris field and all the bodies are found in the first floor, they must have gone down the stairwell because there's just no time for all this plane to get down into the first floor instead of just shearing off and the top portion of the plane going into the second floor and the bottom portion of the plane going into the first floor.
Patricia, did you say something?
I'm sorry?
Did you say that they actually found bodies of people who were on the plane? Or are you saying...
Yes. Now, this is the FBI, and this is the FBI report given to the American Society of Civil Engineers, which is written up in their report. So the civil engineers saw no bodies nor plane parts.
All
they have is the reports of others regarding plane parts and people. According to the FBI, they even found four of the hijackers in the front part of the building, which I find rather amazing that
complete with
do all that. Now, here's the other thing, though. They say, though, and some see that what happened to the engines. Of course, this is not in the report. They don't talk about this. And in report, I can't find really where they talk about much of the plane parts at all. They are just reporting what others say about the plane parts. And this report, strangely enough, does not get into so much of what happened to the plane parts. They don't get into the jet particularly. They get into nothing but the structure of the Pentagon.
Where's the baggage? Where's the seats? Where's the bodies? Where's the jet engines? Where's the tail fin? Why didn't the tail fin, make a mark above the hull?
Well, some you see have said that the engines and things were consumed in the heat of the fire, and But if all of that is true, how does all this stuff evaporate in the heat of the intense fire when the you find bodies? You've found so many bodies who did not, made of material a lot less than that.
I have no doubt that these these hijackers were discovered with photo IDs on their bodies and their faces.
Well,
were
how could you even tell they were the hijackers?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, you found enough of them to know that they were the hijackers, yet you can't find these titanium engines.
and how are we supposed to believe that a jet engine, which is designed to run at full, you know, throttle with a fully oxygenated optimal mixture, cannot withstand a random fire composed?
Yes.
You know, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous.
And, of course, we've not touched at all on the pilots' problems with this. They say you can't fly a 757 at 777 feet per second. That's what it would be doing, 700. That's 2.5 football fields long per second.
Wow.
And you can't fly an object that big that close to the ground without getting what they call the ground effect, which is if you're traveling at that speed, it's going to force your airplane up. Because all of that air going between the wing and the ground will force your aircraft up.
And keep in mind that the official story is that this plane was piloted by someone who could barely fly a Cessna, and it had conducted a maneuver which would have been extremely high G, difficult to execute in a regular plane, much less a jumbo jet.
Yes.
Wasn't there supposed to be a committee at that very time meeting in the Pentagon to discuss a huge loss, like of trillions of dollars, that Rumsfeld announced the day before? And where were they compared to the parts of the building that were destroyed? Do you know that?
You know, I actually have that congressional testimony that relates directly to that. I can play it. It's not very long if you want.
Oh, okay.
What do you think, Ron?
That's great. I don't mind.
I have Cynthia McKinney interviewing Donald Rumsfeld on the day before 9/11, where he reports that like $3 trillion is missing from the Pentagon. Nobody knows where it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I could use some of that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and continue while I locate this, okay?
Well, supposedly a committee was meeting that morning to investigate that right there at the Pentagon. So I was wondering if they were in that area that was destroyed. That doesn't make sense, according to the airplane.
You know, they say that Rumsfeld's offices were on the opposite side of the Pentagon from where they... Mm-hmm. The jet supposedly hit, and then also that portion of the Pentagon was under a remodel wherein they were bomb-proofing the glass and beefing it up, trying some new materials, bomb-proof glass and such. And so that's the same area that the jet hit was where this remodeling project had just been completed, or they were completing it on the inside or something. And that's one of the explanations they give for the lack of penetration of the plane parts was due to the beefed-up glass and wind emulsions and that system. But that would also mean then, well, if you don't have penetration, then you must have debris on the outside of the building. And, they want to say, well, no, all the debris went inside the building. Well,
yeah, I'd like to tell
you. Got to have one or the other, you know.
Mm-hmm. There's a video that came out shortly after 9/11 called The Amazing Pentalon, Pentalawn. I'd like to refer people to that if they want to Google it. The Amazing Pentalon, Pentalawn. And it talks about how pristine the lawn was after this supposed crash.
I've located this testimony.
Pentalon. Amazing Pentalon? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Pentalon. I got you. Okay.
I've located this congressional testimony.
Great.
Okay. The gentlelady from Georgia, Ms. McKinney.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, I watched President Bush deliver a moving speech at the United Nations in September 2003, in which he mentioned the crisis of the sex trade. The president called for the punishment of those involved in this horrible business. But at the very moment of that speech, DynCorp was exposed for having been involved in the buying and selling of young women and children. While all of this was going on, DynCorp kept the Pentagon contract to administer the smallpox and anthrax vaccines and is now working on a plague vaccine through the Joint Vaccine Acquisition Program. Mr. Secretary, is it policy of the U.S. government to reward companies that traffic in women and little girls? That's my first question. My second question, Mr. Secretary, according to the Comptroller General of the United States, there are serious financial management problems at the Pentagon, to which Mr. Cooper alluded. Fiscal year 1999, $2.3 trillion missing. Fiscal year 2000, $1.1 trillion missing. And DOD is the number one reason why the government can't balance its checkbook. The Pentagon has claimed year after year that the reason it can't account for the money is because its computers don't communicate with each other. My second question, Mr. Secretary, is who has the contracts today to make those systems communicate with each other? How long have they had those contracts? And how much have the taxpayers paid for them? Finally, Mr. Secretary, after the last hearing, I thought that my office was promised a written response to my question regarding the four war games on September 11th. I have not yet received that response, but would like for you to respond to the questions that I've put to you today, and then I do expect the written response to my previous question, hopefully by the end of the week.
Thank you, Representative. The answer to your first question is no, absolutely not. The policy of the United States government is clear, unambiguous, and opposed to the activities that you described. The second question.
Well, how do you explain the fact that DynCorp and its successor companies have received and continue to receive government contracts?
I would have to go and find the facts, but there are laws and rules and regulations with respect to government contracts, and there are times that corporations do things they should not do, in which case they tend to be suspended for some period. There are times then that the under the laws and the rules and regulations for the that passed by the Congress and implemented by the executive branch, that corporations can get off of out of the penalty box, if you will, and be permitted to engage in contracts with the government. They're not generally not barred in perpetuity.
This company was never in the penalty box. If you could proceed to my second question, please.
The second question. I've forgotten what the second question was.
I think Ms. Jonas knows it.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. McKinney. I appreciate the question. I appreciate your interest in our department's financial condition, and we are working very hard on that program. I've just come back recently.
I understand that you're working hard on it, but my question was, who has the contract? How long have they had that contract, and how much money have we spent on it?
In general, we spend about $20 billion in the Department on Information Technology Systems. The accounting systems are part of that. I can get you the exact number for the record of what we spend on our current, what we call legacy systems, and those that we're moving toward.
And who has the contracts?
That would be a multitude of individuals.
Could you name some, please?
Well, I think off the top of my head, well, I would rather not. I'd rather provide that for the record.
That's not privileged information, is it?
I'm sure it's not.
Well, please. We still have time, so please.
I would be glad to provide for the record. I don't want to talk from the top of my head and be incorrect.
On your first question, I'm advised by Dr. Chu that it was not the corporation that was engaged in the activities you characterized, but I'm told it was an employee of the corporation, And it was some years ago in the Balkans that that took place.
It's my understanding that it continues to take place. And
is that right?
Yes.
Well, if you can give me information to that effect,
I'm sure you are interested in all of the information that I have, and I'll be more than happy to provide it to you.
Good. Thank you.
But I would also like to get information from you.
Okay.
For example, the information that I just requested about who has those contracts.
Let me assure the gentlelady that we'll make sure that this exchange of information takes place. And Mr. Secretary, if you can get back with us on the DynCorp story, we'll get that to the gentlelady.
Mr. Chairman.
We'll get back on both of the first two questions, but the Congresswoman has raised the other question twice now, and I'd like to have General Myers respond, because you mentioned it in the last hearing. And I think it would be helpful to get the answer, even though we're on red, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman.
General Myers, go right ahead.
But I would like to have the answer in writing as well, as I thought my office was promised.
Okay, I don't know about the promise, Congresswoman, but could you repeat the question to make sure I'm answering the right question? This is 9/11 question.
The question was, we had four war games going on September 11th, and the question that I tried to pose before the Secretary had to go to lunch was whether or not the activities of the four war games going on September 11th actually impaired our ability to respond to the attacks.
The answer to the question is no, did not impair our response. In fact, General Eberhardt, who was in the commander of North American Aerospace Defense Command, as he testified in front of the 9/11 Commission, I believe he told them that it enhanced our ability to respond, given that NORAD didn't have the overall responsibility for responding to the attacks today. That was an FAA responsibility. But there were two CPXs. There was one Department of Justice exercise that didn't have anything to do with the other three. And there was an actual operation ongoing because there was some Russian bomber activity up near Alaska. So
let me ask you this then. Who was in charge of managing those war games?
And General, why don't you give the best answer you can here in a short period of time, and we'll the gentlelady wants to get a written answer anyway, and then we can move on to other folks.
The important thing to realize is North American Aerospace Defense Command was responsible. These are command post exercises. What that means is all the battle positions that are normally not filled are indeed filled. So it was an easy transition from an exercise into a real-world situation. It actually enhanced the response. Otherwise, it would take somewhere between 30 minutes and a couple of hours to fill those positions, those battle spaces, with the right staff officers.
Mr. Chairman, begging your indulgence, was September 11th declared a National Security Special Event Day?
I have to look back. I do not know. You mean after the fact or before?
No. Because of the activities going on that had been scheduled at the United Nations that day.
I'd have to go back and check. I don't know.
Thank you.
Okay. I thank the gentlelady. The chair would ask the gentleman.
Richard Myers was allegedly in charge of the entire military response to 9/11, and he was promoted after this massive failure. That the buck stops at the top, right? Or does it? Maybe not. And he talks about how these war games actually enabled an expedited response. My God, if that was expedited, I don't know what normal would be. But the question is, why weren't jets at Andrews Air Force Base, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump from the Pentagon, why weren't they mobilized? Why were these jets sent in from Langley? And what were Cheney's orders? You know, was it truly to shoot down this missile? And why would the young man who produced these reports to Cheney, why would he question the validity of this command as the?
I actually think we're not going to know much about this ever, about what these government officials were doing. And we know what the kinds of things they make up about our other issues in our communal life as a nation, how they come up with things called global economics and the result of that, what result on the nation that's been. We no longer have manufacturing in America.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
So that was a great program they put together for us.
Yes, they've exported our factories. They've exported our factories, our jobs. These are Nazis, okay? There is an agenda here. This is not stupidity or corruption. Mm-hmm. There is an agenda here. Go on, Patricia.
Yeah, may I recommend a couple more websites? One is the Idaho Observer. If you just Google Idaho Observer Deathbed Confessions, you'll find that actually George H.W. Bush was not necessarily born into the Bush family, but was an import from Germany. And it's Hitler's bodyguard who is making the deathbed confessions. So, yes, we're in the Fourth Reich,
yes,
as some say. And then 9/11 research. It says, who was killed in the attack on the Pentagon? It says an office of the Army had just reoccupied the Pentagon's recently renovated Wedge 1. Is that part of... Yes, it's obviously part of what was destroyed. Named Resource Services, Washington, lost 34 of its 45 employees. Most were civilian accountants, bookkeepers, and budget analysts. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld had announced on the eve of the attack that more than $2 trillion was missing from the Pentagon. So some have speculated that it might have been an attempt to cover that whole situation up. Because when you have an attack on the Pentagon, then that gets a lot more attention than the budget deficit.
Yeah,
so apparently the people who dealt with that budget were a lot of the people who were killed.
Yeah, just as the World Trade Center 7 building housed the SEC,
mm-hmm,
and they had the records from Enron and WorldCom, which were two huge fraudulent scandals. You can Google, here's another Google term, SEC is in Securities Exchange Commission, 9/11 options trades, SEC 9/11 options trades. And you will find there that the SEC has now admitted that they've destroyed the records of the options trades that were placed against these airliners in the days before 9/11. And it turns out that we happen to know that some of these trades were placed from a company which was being directed at the time, he wasn't a director at the time, but he had just left that company and become executive director of the CIA. Buzzy Krongard. I don't know what this means, except Buzzy Krongard was involved in private catering to wealthy private clients at his company. Anyway, it's a very very tight little network of criminals and traitors that we're talking about here, and mass murderers, and Lord knows what else. We know that they dabble in pedophilia and blackmail, and it goes on and on.
Sometimes people say, oh, but our government wouldn't do that. And
it's not our government.
Say, no, it's not our government. It's rebel. It's some kind of renegade faction within that's hiding in the government.
It's ludicrous to think that these Nazis that have controlled U.S. foreign policy for so many years and been responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people in Latin America through torture and mass murder, it's ludicrous to think that they are going to just... You know, it would be a huge mistake to think that these are just misguided super patriots. These people are traitors, and they are committing treason against this country right now. And it's just about time for Americans to start acting like adults and face the facts. And
we're under the control.
Yeah,
we're under the control of psychopaths.
Yes, psychopaths is right. They have brain damage. We've already talked about that on this show. That American obstetrics has been systematically brain damaging and sexually torturing babies for many years in this country, and we know what the effects of this are, how it creates sociopathy. And
I get brain damage every time I watch too much television.
But I mean, I am talking about an emotional lobotomy. That's what circumcision is emotional lobotomy.